Blog Talk Radio.
We don't need to utter but three words. Tell this nation what we are talking about. They are big words. You don't need to have a great vocabulary to utter. You don't need to have a philosophical bent to grasp. They are three little words. We want to let the world know that these words describe what we mean and what we are determined to do about racial injustice. We don't want a few token handouts here and there. We want all of our rights. Telling us to slow up. We can hear voices telling us to cool off. Our only answer in conversation turn must be that we have cooled off too long, and if we keep cooling off, we'll end up in a deep freeze. We must go on and say, no, what we are saying to this nation is that we want all of our rights. We want them here.
What your life can truly be. Shining star for you to see. What your life can truly be.
I haven't walked in a while. Ain't no telling what I do. It's like getting
we'll see. But if I know that, I got a whole tan too, a light tan or something. I can get real light, but I just don't have white. But I do. They really don't have nowhere to go. Ask them where they're going.
Okay.
But we won't let nothing hold us back. Put ourselves together. Gonna polish up our ass down.
All right, and I'll be there early. So, you know what I mean? We'll have plenty of time to go over it. All right? All right.
Conversation. I am your host tonight, Dr. J. Devil 1-1. I'm 20 years old.
sitting in for the great Jaquan Diaz until he shows up, filling in also for Dr. Robertson, who is engaged and doing one of his high-stake, big-time, multi-million-dollar deals. He could not be here tonight. And so I've been requested that I would come and then I would sit in and kind of fill things in as we move along. And I see some people in the queue already. I don't know if that's our host or not, but I just want to say there's a lot of stuff that's going on. I have not had an opportunity to share with the Neo family in a minute, but there are a lot of stuff that's in the news that I would love to talk about. There are new developments. We got a new strain of the virus. We got the Delta strain now that is specifically targeting unvaccinated people. I think that's a very interesting phenomenon. And I guess we can talk about that also when we get a chance to do it. But we want to thank everybody that's been listening in, that's been supporting us, that's been tuning in to these broadcasts and giving us all of what we need in order to make things happen. So we're going to come back. We wish everybody do not go anywhere. We got a full show for you. And stay tuned. We will be right back.
If you like to lose your money, be a fool and bet on Sonny.
Clay comes out to meet Liston, and Liston starts to retreat. If Liston goes back in his father, he'll end up in the rain side of things. Clay swings with his wealth, Clay swings with his right. Look at young Cash just carry the fight. Liston keeps backing, but there's not enough room. It's a matter of time, and Clay loves the moon.
On my face, yeah, and I upset Sonny Liston, and I just turned 22 years old. I must be the greatest. I told the world, I talk to God every day. If God's with me, can't nobody be against me. I'm the world. I'm the real God.
Wait a minute, Cassius.
I am the king of the world.
Hold it.
I'm pretty.
Hold it, you're not that pretty.
I'm a bad man.
Wait.
I shook up the world.
Oh, yeah. After we get the bear, we will go after the hare.
And who's the hare?
The hare is the rabbit, Claude Patterson.
If you like to lose your money, be a fool and bet on Sonny. Clay comes out to meet Liston, and Liston starts to retreat. If Liston goes back in his father, he'll end up in the rain side of things. Clay swings with his belt. Clay swings with his dice. He'll be young cat to carry the fight. Liston keeps backing, but there's not enough room. It's a matter of time, and Clay loves the moon.
On my face, yeah. And I upset Sonny Liston, and I just turned 22 years old. I must be the greatest. I told the world, I talk to God every day. If God's with me, can't go back to your
Project is a business network collective of professional CEOs, community leaders, doctors, recording artists, label owners, lawyers, judges, business owners, entrepreneurs, recording artists, and major connections across the globe. For more information, visit www.myprojectneo.org or call 800-249-8830. We have a live conference call. Join in the conversation, hosted by Dr. Rev Robinson Sr. and Dr. Winborn. Share your ideas about growing your business. New ideas, featured partners, video promo, social media, exposure, rotation, profit sharing, meetups at your establishment. Join the conference call on Blog Talk Radio Thursday and Friday, 7 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Sunday, 7 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Live Talk with Eva. Call 347-857-1311. Press 1 to speak. on freeconferencecall.com. Saturday, 12 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Call into 515-604-9642. Access code 910488. If you have Metro PCS, hashtag T-Mobile, or Boost Mobile, call 206-451-6043, then 515-604-9642, access code 910488. If you have Metro PCS, T-Mobile, or Boost Mobile, dial 206-451-6043, then 515-604-9642, access code 910488. Financial consulting and investments, call DSNR Consultants LLC Corporate Office, 914-363-9007. Text 518-866-7605. Email RevRunRobinson, RevRun11@gmail.com. Shout out to Pastor Don Jr., CEO, and Keisha Miss, CEO, the 300 Elite members, also 3 Max and a Nerd, and Andrea's Talent Management.
Yeah. Hello? Hello, everybody. I'm sorry to be on short notice. I'm actually at work, but my boss, who is actually a guest on tonight's show, is going to actually be able to tune in when I move just to a little more silent location. So in about 5 more minutes, whoever else is on, you can I can't see the dashboard right now. Please unmute like Ron Robinson, Ron A. Robinson, Gregory Hall, et cetera, regular, Shalik, and give them a chance to talk while limit the background noise. Thank you.
You're listening to The Sound.
welcome back. I think we have solved our technical difficulties. I could hear that. I couldn't hear anything before. I think our host is with us. Is Buzz Diaz, are you there on the line with us? All right. I thought I heard something coming out of that. I see him
here.
Yeah,
we're here. I'm here.
All right.
Everybody who joined in, Dr. Winsborn, Reverend Ron, and everybody else, I appreciate it.
Good. We were having some difficulties. Good thing. I was wondering if we were going to be able to get through or not. But yeah, thank God we had. Go ahead, brother. The mic is all yours.
Okay, thanks. Much appreciated. So today we want to talk about the opportunity at hand and also give praise and glory to the Creator, the Most High, who has endowed us with opportunity and intelligence to be able to keep our movement and what's been happening with the Reformation program going. So what I wanted to do was I brought a guest on today, and the guest on that comes on today is not only somebody who has worked on Rikers Island and now is actually a business owner and head chef of the establishment that I work at called the Catch and Grill, who's given me the opportunity to build alongside the company and business. I wanted to bring him on so he could talk about his story and how he's given back to the community. And then I'll take over and get into the topic at hand. So without further ado, I want to introduce Andrew, and he will tell you more about himself. Yeah, it went blank.
My main mission. Oh, they just unmuted now. Hi, everybody. My name is Chef Andre. I have a restaurant here on 342 Lenox Avenue. That's 127th and Lenox to be exact. Catch and Grill. We're just giving up some good seafood to the community. The goal is to revamp black-owned restaurants, right? So we want them to serve better food to the community, to our black and brown people. You know, for years and years, we've just been eating salty food. So with this restaurant, we wanted to showcase something different, you know, where I could express my talent through cooking. One of the things that I'm really interested in is trying to hire people in the culinary world, people that want to come up and they want to work. So, you know, I hire my former detainees that I used to counsel on Rikers Island. I hire single moms who need a fixed schedule so they could take care of their children and be there for their children through these hard times that we're facing during the pandemic. I even employ elderly people who can't have the funds that they need for Social Security or their retirement money is not enough. We just want to, you know, be able to provide jobs in these restaurants and provide jobs within the culinary world. And having Joaquin with me is one of the best decisions I ever made. So he's really a good kid. And I definitely hope to hire more people who, you know, want to grow and just showcase their talent. And it doesn't even have to be food. You know, I have people on my team who want to be in the fashion world. I have people who want to be accountants. And my goal is to help people follow their dreams the same way I followed mine. You know, I didn't really have that guidance. Both of my parents didn't live past 50. We have kids now who grow up without their parents. So I definitely want to be that male role model, that positive public figure for youth, people older than me, you know, the whole community, Bronx, all five boroughs, all of New York. So it takes one person to just make a difference and other people will follow. So I hope my beliefs and the things that I want to do for the community will influence others, and, you know, those who get impacted by it can impact others.
Yeah, so that's, and he's being modest. He does a lot, and in what he does, in his expertise being a counselor on Rikers Island, I wanna make the differentiation in it. And everybody's been on my show since I was on Rikers Island to now. And you know that I led a movement while I was in there, and I was in a place called ESH, Enhanced Supervision Housing Unit. Now, he was a counselor to us, but he was able to approach and talk to us on a human level. And when it came down to actually giving employment and opportunity, he left that job, that system, that money to be able to build on his opportunity from scratch, taking his expertise, giving opportunity to people who are in the struggle and need the opportunity while building and wanting to brand and, you know, duplicate himself. So I wanted to bring him on the show because this is what community development is about. The fact that he's starting here, and this is like a call because, as you know, this show talks about the power and the supremacy of the creator. And no interaction and no meet is by accident. If you think that that's what it is, you shouldn't even be listening in. So when it comes to that and these interactions and these connections that's being made, the expertise that I had, you know, I owned a food truck and I built the food truck myself. And then my loyalty, you know, my loyalty and wanting to devote energy and time into watching something grow and build. So what we need now as a people is to I hope to talk to him more about the restoration program. And, you know, that's where I hope Dr. Winsborn could better sell that. And, you know, it'd be important if they can get, if we at Catch and Grill could get funding to get, you know, source foods from better places and, you know, get more marketing help, et cetera. So we definitely would like, you know, the ability to fundraise. And I would like to bring him before the Black Shark Tank as a business, and I, that's my referral. I want him to go before the Black Shark Tank if the community would allow it and, you know, bring this opportunity to the people. So now I'm going to open the mic to some feedback and questions, and if the chairmans like Dr. Winsborn and Dr. Reverend Ron and Ron Robinson, if you guys could chime in and say anything, I would appreciate that. Hello? Ron, anybody?
Yeah, I'm still here. Anybody got questions for me?
All right, yeah. I mean, I'll go first. I don't know if Ron Robinson is there, but listen, we always appreciate the brothers that are helping, that are giving back. We have a lot of respect for Brother Diaz and anyone that he brings on or associated with. We always, you know, always get high regards, and we just appreciate everyone that are looking out for the community. That's genuinely looking out for the community, like it sounds like our right. brother is with the restaurant that he's got there. And even if you aren't in the restaurant business,
right.
there are other opportunities that you will entertain for people that are looking to do some serious stuff. And that's always a good thing, because if we don't need anything else, we need resources.
Right.
We need resources, and we need to find a way to continue to circulate black dollars.
Right. So, you know, one of the things that I realized that was happening inside the jails as I was working there, we were promising the detainees there. I don't like to call them inmates. I call them detainees. You're an inmate when you're convicted. The detainees in there would get promised certain things and get promised jobs. And I told these guys, when I get out there and I form the business that I want to form to help you guys, I'm going to get you a job. And that's what I made happen. So, and these guys were in enhanced security housing, right? So these guys, they go through three levels in enhanced security housing. Level one, they're shackled to a chair with their ankles, right? And they have to program that way for 2.5 hours. Now, you get to level two, you only have 8 hours to lock out, right? And there's two tiers. The top tier locks out for 8 hours once, and then the other tier locks out for the next 8 hours when the shift changes, right? So that means you have to stay inside yourself for about 25 hours. It's inhumane, right? They can't program like that. The department has grown to escalate the gang violence, right? And so I found myself to be the only one in there, maybe with a few other people, was to try to turn that and try to let these black and brown people understand that when the Bloods was first created, it was about brotherly love. And we have to bring that brotherly love back, right? So when I said, you know what, I'm done with the island, I'm done with all the corruption inside, I said, I'm going to make sure I get that brotherly love back, right? And so what brings people together? Food. So I cook very well, and my food brings people together. So if I could bring people together over food and we can talk and we can figure out how we can move and get our riches back and get our names back and get our property back, the only way you can do that is by coming together to the table. So all the big homies and all the big-time drug dealers, let's turn around and let's make positive money. We've been affected too long, and we've been playing the card and being abused and manipulated. You know, back in the days, mental health was a taboo. Now it's, oh, you got this, we're going to give you some pills, and then this is how the addiction begins to start. So we have to go back to where we were taking natural medicines, where back in Africa they were using herbs and they were using different things. So, you know, I just want people to come together, man. All this violence is going on. People are getting blinded with what's going on in the media. It's time to step in and people take the initiative to rebuild their community. You know, it's forcefully being gentrified amongst us, where we should be stepping in, and we need to really hold these people in politics accountable for what's going on in our communities.
Right. You know, one of the things I always say, my brother, is that we have to work on, number one, circulating funds so that when we say that we're building our community and helping our community, we really are. Because most of us do not live in our communities. We don't have communities. We have neighborhoods. Yep. And the reason why I say that, because if it's a community, it is someplace where we commune. And everyone is there, and we own the businesses in that union, in that communion. You follow me?
Very true.
So my brother owns the barber shop. You know, my neighbor next door owns he's the owner of the liquor store. You know what I mean? Or someone down there. And now we have a community, and now we can circulate those funds and those monies within that community. And I think one of the best ways to do it is that if we make a commitment to, like, continue to patronize, like, your business and other black-owned business. Don't, you know, if I got a dollar, this is where I'm going to spend it unless I have absolutely no other choice.
Right.
Okay? That I have to spend it, because if I don't spend it within the community, or if I don't spend it with my brethren, I'm just going to give it to some other group, and then they're going to take it, they're going to support their community, and then come back and buy my community and put me out.
Right.
So when we learn these economic concepts and how these things work, then we will understand the importance of solidification. We have been so brainwashed by our colonizers to believe that we can't even do business. We've been brainwashed to believe that we don't know how to do business.
Exactly.
Well, now, I feel like
Egypt wasn't in this 28th dynasty before it was ever won, you know, in one city in Europe. You know what I mean? So we know how to do the things that they told us that we don't know how to do and that we can't
and
do.
And that's what this is about. This is what this, exactly what you said, is what we are about here. So everybody on the show, at least those who have been here the longest, and the chef that is on the show now, the owner of the Catch and Grill, head chef, that is on the show along with me, we should consider ourselves among the sentient, the conscious. You're a conscious being. You know the supremacy of a higher power. No matter which way you're approaching it, you know that. So now that the ending, the 400 years is over, our bondage is ended, that curse is lifted, now that everybody is here with what we have, I want you to just take the time to immediately focus on the call to action. Now that we have this space and we have what you guys are building, the restoration program, and you is already built, and the Black Shark Tank is in the works, this could be a place where we can not only hold presentations to other black-owned organizations in the neighborhood to bring them along into the restoration program, because that's exactly what it is. When you come into the restoration program,
we circumambulate our money. But we need a focal point where we're having a meeting location and a place that we can highlight so we can dramatize and grow our brand and the call to self-sufficiency. And I always quote the verse, give back onto Caesar what is Caesar's, give back onto God what is God. When we was originally people and we understood the supremacy of the Creator, we gave back to the earth. We ate herbal, everything we ate was natural, but everything now is being genetically modified. The fish and everything is going through processes that they didn't, and we're not sourcing from the best sources because we don't have the monopoly over this. So what I'm hoping to gain out of this, I gave y'all the blueprint of building greenhouses on top of the buildings because of certain climates, things that's going to change, and how we could create more jobs, and how we need to be more funding into urban farms so we could source our products better, et cetera. This is the type of place that I want to hold this, and this is the place that I want to start holding those presentations, and I want everybody with able arms to for us to be able to present a business plan to generate the funding to fund these type of ventures, because this is gonna really put where we at more on the map, and it's gonna give our online presence and our social media presence a more maximum outreach, and this is why this is important that I'm calling everybody right now who is listening in on this to home, because this will be a place when we host, you know, events. You're gonna be able to, one, hear the topics that we do on the show and see business presentation while they eating the best foods, the best food around. So, and then once the food is being sourced from better places, now we get grants and other things that we granted to, because not only are you a business that has created a business with a social benefit, but now it's more of a benefit corporation because you're actually satisfying a need to humanity. One, people who are ex-incarcerated work here now. And two, the fact that we sourcing food from places that is going to allow better health and everything else that comes along with that process. So that's going to be very important.
All right, did our host drop out? All right, look like
hello.
Yeah, okay.
we still
like
here.
He dropped out. All right.
No, the chef is just he had to take care of something real quick. I'm sure he's still listening in. An order went up for him, so I'm just sending a message up for him. So
send some more orders and tell everybody where he at and how they can get in contact with him.
Okay, so everybody can get in contact with us. You can contact us. We're the business is called Catch and Grill, and we're on 127th Street, West 127th Street, Malcolm X Boulevard in Lenox Ave, across the street from Sylvia's. And, yeah, we're a new establishment. Today is day 7 that we've been open. And, yeah, we want everybody to come try our food and our hospitality. And every dollar counts. This is gonna every communication, anything as far as expertise. The menu is still being shaped. The business direction is being shaped. All of this is still happening. So with that said, this is something like a baby that I feel like with my work and approaching the Creator, he is bringing a lot into focus. And, you know, I've been networking with different faith groups and people. And, they ready for what's considered like a people's champion. Like, this is madness already. Like, everything that we're going through is already out of control. Like, and we keep talking about what the man did and the brainwash and everything. We know this. This is something that you got to consider our minds, our hearts as the elite. And this is how the Creator... You don't say, like, all right, when you take King David and you take how God chose him and you looked at the stature of his brothers and the different men, that he sifted through before choosing David, as far as man's eyes. And God said, I choose David. And in man's eyes, he questioned the stature and everything else that came with David versus his intelligence and his patience being a sheep herder. He knew how to be gentle, at the same time stern, at the same time patient, because sheep are stubborn. And if you try to force sheep into anything too fast, they don't listen. And if you get patient with them, a wolf will get them. So God, correct me if I'm wrong, if anybody could check the correlation between all the prophets, all of them have herded sheep at some point. All of them have been around sheep herders or anything that dealt with preparing them to lead their people and being patient and merciful with the faults that come with them and the different vices that our people fall into. We need outreach. We need people wearing the shirts. We need mobilizing. We need to hold events where I can invite the people in, or I can hold events on the street corner and talk to the people. A call to action. Can't keep planning. We planned. Now to get it into a plan and launch and call the people. This is what has to happen. This is, if we don't maximize our outreach, the people will never know about anything that we're building, anything that we're working on. At least the people on the ground level where I felt it count. And this is what really made me leave Just Leadership United States of America, because they were still being compelled by the politicians. And, you know, I joined into groups, and they had political liaisons and everything telling me about the rally and what Al Sharpton is doing. And I hear it, and then I don't see someone like the power that we've created, the restoration, the Reformation program, something that powerful. Look at how many people came out for George Floyd, and everybody would have put $8 in. It shifted the power scale in a day. Shifted the power scale in a day. This is how God makes things easy for us to see, but we are so blind. How something so simple as give Caesar back with his Caesar means king. It doesn't mean a person's name. He did not mean a person. This is the government. This is the kingdoms. This is the sheikhs. This is the Saudis. This is the Russians. This is the Americans. This is all of them. This is all of them that when they released us from, people released us from slavery, what they did, they created unions and already established their foothold in the world long before that. We was never released. They had actual real estate. What was the brothers on the show talking about? About the what's happening in Africa and how they want to reach out to us more and us own our own trade routes, et cetera. Why? Because the curse is lifted. The curse is gone. It's really time to call for action, like, so we could start shifting the power scale. They got two choices in the end. They either respect it, where we can come together as a united human race, where you respect that we are in control of our longevity, our knowledge, our children, our schools, our medical, our food, and everything else that's a benefit to us, versus your influence that has failed us 100% of the time, if not 99.9%. I might give you a point percent of something in credit for our growth, because you really was an outside influence that touched us, and if we didn't get touched, then we wouldn't have been disrupted in anything. But if you see the shape of history, even in the disruption or the European influence, we are still standing. Like God told the devil, he said, after the devil said, I will lie and wait for them on your straight path. I will attack them from their left. I will come to them from their right. I will come to them before them, and I will come to them behind them, and I will show you that they are ungrateful to you. And God told them, and that is the path that will lead you back to me. Why? Because in all his plight of destroying us and breaking our will, destroying our religion, and separating into pieces and manipulating the minds and the brainwash, he's still going to lose. And that's a promise, because I believe in God's promise. He's losing. And he's mad. This is why the chaos is happening in the world, because the devil for the life of him cannot understand why, with all everything that's around us, why we sitting on this radio show listening to what I got to say right now.
Why are we sitting there trying to put on plans that is actually going to elevate our people and take them to the next level? You and me and everybody listening might be chosen by God to elevate the evolution of humanity, because we have evolved far as intelligence, far as technology, and everything else that comes with the advancement of human history. So the Creator, every so often, when he's ready for humanity to advance morally or intelligently, the Creator is going to inspire a few to start pushing it forward, because the Creator has forbidden oppression against himself. So since every creature on this phone call in relatively is a God in his own right, because God gave of his own essence to every living being on this phone call. He gave you of his essence. So if he forced any outcome out of your life, that's oppression, and he's forbidden oppression against himself by giving you free will. He lets you go down those possibilities. And he taught the prophets that, because there was a time when Abraham was told about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And I'm glad we got an opportunity to talk about this, because this was actually supposed to be the main topic of the show. And what happens to a city when warnings come to them and they don't listen, and what happens to a city when warnings come to them and they do listen. So we're not going to take a commercial break, because we started kind of late, so we're going to work straight through. And if we don't stretch it out all the way to 9 o'clock, we'll end around 8:30. Okay? So what happened with this prophet, the chief patriarch, who was the father of all faith, Abraham, who is considered the friend after God. So if you know the background of Abraham, Abraham was actually born in a land that was actually committed into idolatry. And Abraham always wrestled against the fact that his father, who was a polytheist, who worshipped statues, believed that they were actually alive and they had willpower. And he always pondered on the heavens, on the stars, on the sun, and he pondered on whether any of that was his creator. And every time he arrived at something bigger, at something more glorious, from the shining on the stars to the rays on the moon and the sun, he excluded that as being, those were all systems in a higher system governed by something beyond his reasoning. This is why he was considered the friend of God, because he disowned his own father by plotting. He took the statues and he destroyed them, and then he left the axe in the biggest statue's hand. And when they asked him, hey, who destroyed these statues? He said, it was ask the biggest statue. You worship him, he should be able to respond to you. And they say, you are mocking our gods and you destroyed our gods. Instead of reasoning and actually changing and evolving like Abraham did, his intelligence increased, and knowing that the Creator is beyond his physical mind, he was growing closer to God. And after that, they took him. His own father took him. They buried a ditch, and they put Abraham in the ditch. They created a huge furnace, and he told them. He said, I got my faith in the Creator that I'm fine. Like I'm not gonna fear death when I know that everything that you're killing me for is not valid. So when they went to burn him, an angel said, be you cool. An angel was already set in place for Abraham. And when the fire ignited, they seen Abraham standing directly in the fire, and he was not burned. And everybody else around him was engulfed in flames and died. And now when Abraham was freed from there, as he traveled before he even, when he was traveling with Lot, he also came across another group of people who was actually worshiping the stars, who were violent, an entire army that would have killed Abraham. And this is actually the source of his power, because instead of backing down to them and denying his faith, he stood to the for the Creator. And he told them, why would I fear the army that you bring before me when you do not fear the Creator of all of this, the audacity? Why would I be afraid? Why would I fear anything when I got God behind me? And therefore, God made him the friend of God. You are my friend. He is the only one. Whether anybody is considered a friend of God or not, God, only God knows that title. But he is the only one who has ever been given the title, the friend of God. So he had a power, Abraham, believe it or not, to ask God for things that regular people would not be able to just ask God. He's really God, the creator, who gave him life, said, you are my friend. That is a high position, if you really understand that. Not even Michael, the archangel, could say him and God are friends at all. He's an angel. God is in supreme power. You are my servant. Nothing more beyond that as my creation. He gave him a title of being his friend. So beyond that, when the city of Sodom and Gomorrah was going to be destroyed, if anybody who doesn't know what was going on in there, beyond the act of homosexuality, this is actually the origin of homosexuality. Beyond that, this is also the origin of, like, a lot of crimes. They were actually creating brothels. They were actually raping people. They were robbing people. It was total lawlessness. Even the government was collapsed. The police force was collapsed. The backstory is not just gay people, like, and a lot of people think that. It was the fact that they transcended the boundaries and turned it into something that was just beyond recognition. They would take people who will walk into town, travelers, and lure them into places and rape them with the whole city until you died, or if you made it out of there, or if you became one of them. So they were gone. And Lot, the prophet Lot, actually lived in this town with his daughters. And there's a discrepancy in the story that I'm actually going to clear up in the process of this. So before, while Lot was living in Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham was actually tried to host the angels of God. Now, biblically, you'll see that they actually hosted God and the angels, and some say it was a vision, some say it actually happened, and I'm going to leave that up to anybody who wants to, which route you want to look at it. And from another standpoint, a Quranic standpoint, actually says that it was two angels that approached them, and when they tried to feed them, they told them they do not eat. And this is when he realized that he was approached by Angel Gabriel and Michael the Archangel, two of the archangels of God. And they gave him the blessing and the glad tidings of Isaac that would be born to him, because at this point Ishmael was already born, and then told them about the lineage that would be born through him. You know, all of us who are understanding of the Messiah's place as the kingship of David's throne. And when it came to the warning that he told them about Sodom and Gomorrah, this is what I want y'all to understand about the judgment of God, because the angels told them that we're about to go to Sodom and Gomorrah, and we're going to bring judgment upon the city, like annihilate it. He told Abraham, we're going to annihilate the city, nothing no more. Everybody who's living there is dead. This is what's going to happen. And when the angels went to walk away, Lot said, wait, Lot is there. Abraham said, Lot is there. And when he said that, he said it in a way where he's crying out to them, Lot is there. My cousin is there. My nephew is there. I need to help him. Like, you can't just kill him. You can't just take his life. You can't just write him off. And the angels was explaining to him, like, we know Lot is there. He's going to receive his mourning. And he started pleading for the people in the town. And when he started pleading from the people in the town, biblically, they went, if there are 50 good people in there, do not kill them. If there are 40 all the way down to one, there was not one righteous person found in there except Lot and his daughters. Now, contrary to that, Quranically also, it was in the story, he didn't even get a chance to break down the entire 50 without the angel cutting him off, because he was crying and pleading for the people of Sodom, and the angel cut him off and said, Eklas. Eklas means, like, it's decided. Like, stop talking. At this point, do you know where we just came from? We traveled from the heavens.
the creator of the universe has just given us a command. I don't care whose friend you are. I'm not saying no to God. Where those people is annihilated. There's nothing you could say from henceforward. Like, don't even speak on this matter no more before you put yourself in a class that's pleasing to God. Please get out my way. And them angels traveled to where they needed to go. And the reason why I wanted us to understand that in the call and in the times that we're dealing with is that he said there has not come any nation, any city, any power that has existed, but a warner has come to them. And after their warner has warned, and after their warner is lifted, after the warner dies, the judgment of God comes. So if God chooses a warner, if God chooses a movement, and that movement ends, then there's no need for the rest of the society, because it's not, no one is working in favor of God. The fact that we're still standing here, breathing and talking in the phone is because there's some kind of glimmer of light still moving in this darkness before the end of time, before the entire system closes down. And what we need to understand is that is one system ends to pass into a new era. If God gives us the opportunity to turn things over, it's through work. He said he never changes the condition of a people till they first change the condition within themselves. So the call of action, us networking, it can't just be like a constant like battle of what if and how can and what's next. It's let's go. Like, because that's how things throughout time has got done. And I want to continue what happened when Lot was actually in the city. When the angels arrived to the city, they actually looked like handsome men. So if you know about angels are actually beings of light, and they actually shapeshift into forms like man. So they can look like any type of man, anything like that they want, a bird, a bee, an ant, because light has no shape. Light only takes shape of what it manifests itself into. These are the power of angels. This is why they say, careful who you entertain, because you could be entertaining an angel. That old lady crossing the street, hey, could you help me? No, old lady, man, go kick rocks. And the angel just looking at you like, all right. And he reports. That was a test. So you never know who you entertaining. So Lot sees these men walking into the town. They was actually, you know what I mean, I guess you would have to say attractive looking. They wasn't like ugly men. They look attractive because they were angels. So he knew what type of city they was in. So he actually ran out forward among them. And when he ran out forward to catch up to them, he did it so he can warn them. And when he tried to warn them, he also did not want to not host them so that they could feel uncomfortable in the sense where they would have been hosted by someone else, because he knew what type of city he was in. So he wanted to get them into his house under the radar. So when he came to them, he extended his ability, hey, can you come into my house and I'll host you for the night? You don't know what type of city you in. The angels agreed. Now Lot, again, was calling them. He's like, you don't know what type of city you in. I never knew of a city no worse than this. Now he's doing that to try to deter them because he doesn't know those are the angels. They don't have no cell phones. Abraham was not able to call to Lot and say, Lot, listen, the angels are coming. They're going by it. If you don't listen to the warning of God, you're dead, because he's being tested as well. But he's the warner to Sodom and Gomorrah. So he has a high position right now. So now Lot is calling, is trying to deter them. He couldn't. He gets into the house under the radar. Now here's the backstory on why Lot's wife was turned to salt in the end of the story, if you don't know. Because what happened in the midst of that actually snuck out of the house when they brought the men in, and they had pubs or groups or gangs of people who was in charge of the gang raping. And she went into these pubs and told them that two fresh men was now in the city and that they needed to initiate them, and they was in their house. So behind Lot's back, actually, Lot's wife was actually indulging in the things of the people of the city. This is what she was doing behind the prophet of God's back.
Like, so God already seen it. So now God, like, everything God allows to do is all going to manifest into his ultimate purpose. So now when the, wait, where was I? Okay, so now when that happened, the people in the town marched as if in a parade to try to march on the men. And when they got to the door, they told Lot to send out the two guests, and he tried to plead on their behalf. And this is the contrary to when people see there's a verse in the Bible where he says, he's going to say, here are my daughters. But what happened is you don't understand the backstory of Lot and Abraham. And Lot and Abraham being the father of faith, he was also the father of the nations. If you see the war path that Abraham actually went through, and in that war path, he actually divided the land with Lot and gave him, that's not just a block or a house, he gave him a nation. So Lot in his own right was a father of a nation. So when he said, here are my daughters, he don't mean here are my daughters to go outside and have fun with y'all. He said, here are my daughters. Like, what are you doing? You have access to the daughters of our nation lawfully. Why are you going upon each other like that? And why are you raping people? This is what he was pleading to them, and they still didn't want to do that. He said, you know best what we want. Send them out. And this is why they started forcing their way on the door. Now, mind you, this whole time, the angels are not saying nothing. They're standing there silent, and they're standing there behind Lot. And he's trying to barricade the door with his son, and he's trying to stop them from breaking in. And he's using all the strength he got, and the door is cracking and splitting, and they're about to break through the door. And he's crying, and now he's talking to God. And he wished he had the strength to protect his guests. He's telling them, I wish you would have listened to me. I wish I had the strength to save you right now. If only I had a tribe with me. If only I had the power of God with me, I will save you. And right there, because he said that, that's all the angels was waiting for. Because what he didn't do is when it comes to a warner, God actually puts the keys of punishment in their hands without telling them. And the prerequisite is once the warner is fed up with is done. And right there, when he could not stop their madness, and he cried, and he let them go in his heart, if I had the strength to stop them right now, I will. Angel Michael and Gabriel told them, my friend, you are with the most powerful force right now. You don't even know who's standing here right now. Your job is done. Get behind us. And right there, Lot was not allowed to say not another word. It's done. You said what you said. These people is eradicated. Excuse me. They broke through the door. The angels flashed the light and told him. They basically froze time and told Lot right there, listen, you're going to run and not look back. Your wife is to perish with the remaining of the city. He already knew she looked back. And what you think the look back is when you run and you look backwards and you turn to salt. The look back was let go that world. Let go that matrix they created. Let go that sinister system. Let it go. Do not look back. If any one of your hearts look back to that, you're going to turn to a pillar of salt. It was not physically in the turnaround sense, and that's not what God wants you to take away from it. He wants you to take away that when you let go a sinister system, and God, the most merciful of all judges, deems a system unworthy to stand in the presence of God no more. Do not hold attachments to it. Let it go. Let it go. So now when Lot and his daughters and everyone escaped, the angel Gabriel and Michael were standing at the edge of the city, and all the people was inside, and this is when one of the prophets actually got to see the angels turn into their real form. And Gabriel handled the city by himself. Like, Michael didn't have to do anything. And when the angel transformed, the angel was bigger than the horizons. The end of the angel could not be seen. He had 300 wings to his left, 300 wings to his right, all different colors unknown to the mankind's mind. He let out a roar against Sodom and Gomorrah. And when he let out a roar between the cities, it paralyzed everybody in their state like an earthquake, just the roar alone. The angel, after he hit them with the cry and he froze everybody in their place,
by the tip of his wing, not his whole wing, nothing. He scraped the entire city from it, from under itself, and hurled them into the heavens. When he hurled them into the, when he lifted them into the sky, and the atmosphere started to crush on them, and their chest was closing on himself, God commanded them to hurl the city upside down back into the, into the, to the earth. After he hurled the city back into the earth, he rained fire and brimstone from the heavens. Now, believe it or not, if you look up the Dead Sea where Sodom and Gomorrah is right now, and you see what the archaeologists discovered, no life lives there. It's called the Dead Sea for a reason. The land is you can't build nothing on it. It's unfertile. And then when the archaeologists went deeper into the ground, the archaeologists you see in the documentary say this is unbelievable. And they say, what? I found the city, like pieces of the buildings and their structures, but it's almost like they upside down. How is in history, through archaeological work, accurate with what God has told us this city has been annihilated and wiped off the face of the grid for? Because it's a lasting sign, and that's the end of all of it. When he said, and this will be a sign and a testament for the rest of time to all the nations that come after it. So we have an opportunity like the story of Jonah, and next time we'll go more in depth in the story of Jonah. But in the story of Jonah, if you know, he was supposed to preach to the city of Nineveh. And when he preached to them, he actually ran from the obligation. But his minute bit of preaching actually changed them from their ways. And this is why he was swallowed in the belly of the fish, because he ran from an obligation of God. And this is what happens with warners. Like, at least for me, I've been in jail too many times because of my promises that I made to God, and I got deterred from the path and my obligation. And now it's repeating itself. And I believe it's shared with everybody who supports me on this radio show, who's going to support me in the restoration program. I'm going to do better to have a way for the sign-ups, and I was just having some computer difficulties. But when I could really do that, I really want everybody getting on the information, everything we need to know about where this green energy is going, about this restoration program, businesses, getting this Black Shark Tank off the ground, how we getting in front of more people in our outreach. So with that said, I love everybody on the show. I got to get back to work myself. I'll give about 6 minutes left for any feedback and questions. And, yeah, thank you for everybody who's on. I appreciate you guys, and I'm open to hear what you guys have to say.
We're going to open up the mic, so we open all the mics. Your mics are open, so feel free to chime in.
Ronald A. Robinson, Brother Daquan, how are you?
Hey, thank you, brother. How are you?
Thank you for that. And, you know, the spirit is moving across the earth, and the time is nigh. It's here.
Right.
I study, you know, I study a little bit of everything because I'm curious about everything. But like you were saying, in archaeology, I'm looking at agronomy and how the land in Africa is changing. It's growing.
Right.
All right. Trees that haven't been there for hundreds of years are coming back because there's a new predator.
Right.
And I say it like that because they allowed after wars and so on, and after killing all these animals and everything else, the only animals that were left were those that were grazing.
Right.
Because they were grazing, there were no trees that could be grown. You know, the savannas couldn't continue until they brought the lions in, and the lions helped control those grazing animals. And as they did, they didn't graze in the same areas anymore. And what happened is that the grass started growing, trees started growing, then the birds started coming back, insects started coming back. All these things that help to keep and replenish the earth. And I know from my spirit, my heart, that is the spirit of God moving over the earth.
Amen.
And
Amen.
It took
it's,
the
it's
scientific...
scary but beautiful. You're right.
Yeah, yeah. Because
think about life and how long a tree grows. Like, let's stop right there alone.
Yes.
About how you say figuratively and actually the spirit of God moving over the earth, because
yes.
God is life. So
yes.
the life force of God's presence being that close to us is rapifying the growth of the vegetation, the lunar energy, the seas, everything. It's like he said, there's a new predator. The
yes.
earth is
Absolutely.
Deciding to fight back now.
Absolutely.
The earth is about to take over and say,
yes.
all right, now this is out of line. You've extinct creatures off the face of my back. You've dried up or poisoned reservoirs on my back. You've polluted my air. He's going to act, the earth, we came from the earth. The earth is a living and conscious organism.
Yeah.
And the creator has the power to communicate with every living being. This, the earth has the power to supplicate to God too. Little does our finite minds understand. And
the
earth
desert
being,
is returning.
Right. Okay, right.
You
look
know.
Look at that. Like, so it must have made a supplication out to the creator to get his groove back. It makes sense.
Yes. Yes, I have to send you that. I want to get an opportunity. I thought I was able to send you that, but I got to give you an opportunity to send you the history, because it took 30 years. God gave the knowledge and the wisdom to man to understand
mm-hmm.
his creation and how he did things.
Mm-hmm.
And how he produced things, and man, with the God's wisdom, you know, did that, and now it's happening all over Africa. It's happening in South America, and with what we will be doing here with farming and stuff, it'll happen here. We have black farmers upstate that will come down and teach people how to farm.
Right. Amen.
You know. So there's a lot that we have to reach out to, given the opportunity. I'm looking forward to do that. And God bless you, brother. I thank the brother of the restaurant. Eventually, we'll be
brother
in total support
yes.
and move forward.
Yes.
You know, with that. But God bless you, man. Always love you.
Thank you. I always appreciate you. Your feedback and everything you got to say, brother. And you're very studious and knowledgeable. Your feedback is always important and correlates with the topic at hand. And it's definitely appreciated, because it gives me hope and it invigorates my spirit in the sense where I know this is really happening. Like, I don't want people to take it lightly, because this is really happening. The earth is changing. These cars,
it's happening before our eyes.
Before our eyes, the earth is changing rapidly, and that's the shift in power. We have to align with the earth. We have to align with the earth, team up with the earth to give back to what's the earth, because the earth is God's, and we were not given the earth to destroy. We was given the earth to be custodians over, and this is why Jesus explained about when the owner of the garden comes back to check on the custodians of the garden, how he's going to be displeased in the condition in which you left his garden. I own the land. I planted some seeds. I provided the entire system for all of this to work. All I ask you to do is you can enjoy everything that comes from it. Please avoid this one tree, and please avoid doing this and that and the third, and keep this in order. I appreciate you. He comes back, everything's out of whack.
Out of order.
This is a warning. If you had a car, it don't work no more, you either get it fixed. If it can't get fixed, you scrap it. I can't use it no more. It doesn't run for his purpose no more. You scrap it. And God leaves that in us to understand the power of a creator. The creator, we can create cars, we can all of that, and just scrap it or get rid of it because it is no longer necessary or it defeats its purpose now. The creator could deem us in the same fashion at any given time, but I have hope with what Ron is saying and how the earth is changing, because it shows you that the creator, because of whatever is happening on the earth, with whatever is happening right now in our hearts, in our minds, and wanting to see a system change and a better earth, God is listening to the supplication. Because for that, the earth would have withered. And for that, he would have allowed the earth to wither out and not have a life force to do anything. So the fact that the earth is still breathing and living and growing is not going to replace us, but it's gonna cleanse itself in the sense where the earth, since just like any creature adapts to an environment, the earth has to adapt what's necessary for its survival. And this is why the power shift is changing, because if left in the wrong hands, the earth will die. There are people who have no sense of life, no sense of, okay, I put $1 billion towards this, I can save on this much energy to do that, get it done. Oh, but you know we got to cut down a rainforest and probably extinct probably like two animals that actually live there. Yeah, get it done. Yeah, make it happen. If you put them all in power and let them snuff out our light, the very light of the world will die. And they want that. Why? Because they're on the moon already, building stuff up on the moon. They want to get over to Mars. Why? Because they want to build stuff on Mars. Why? Because they're going to terraform the planet. They're going to poison the entire Earth so every living organism could die. Probably or roaches will keep running around. They're going to build whatever they're building on the moon and other places, preserving seeds and everything else. They're going to send something back down to clean the like basically just like in the beginning of time, in the the first periods when there was a lot of carbon dioxide and poison in the air, and the plants and the vegetation started growing, so it cleaned out the air before life could grow. If they preserve the seeds, they'll destroy the whole planet with their bunkers under the ground and everything. Clean out the air again, and it'll just be them. I promise you, that is how far the devil is able to think. And he's able to twist their minds and tell them that, listen, after we create this new earth, I'll sit on the throne as God. There'll be no believers left. I will sit on the throne as God. Who will challenge me? That's how bad he wants revenge. He will annihilate everything just to assimilate a matrix, a false world of him and his leaks that he sat on it. This is the COVID. This is everything else that's hitting us. The only way to get back and to save us, sorry to repeat it again, give them back what's theirs, all their medical, all their schooling, all their everything. Give it all back to them. Here you go. And build on our own front. And this is what's happening. And amen. I should get back to work. Because my boss gave me that opportunity. I really do get, like, keep this thing moving, so I have to get in there. And I appreciate your words and everybody else who joined in on the show. May God's love and presence continue to bless everybody's life. If you're dealing with any kind of health ailment, may God heal you. If you have any kind of children issues, may God unite you with them and bless them. And may God make all of our endeavors come true. And may we stand together, for united we stand, divided we fall. God bless.
God bless.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world, listen to these words. People come.
People come.
People go.
People go.
Your life has been.
Your life has been.
Out of control.
Out of control.
You're confused.
You're confused.
But don't worry.
Don't worry. Your soul, it will get better.
It's gotta get
better. It will get better.
It's gonna be
better. It will get better.
Cause
God is in control,
y'all. Hey. Thank you, Lord. Hey.
Find the praise
within your heart.
Within your heart.
Hold it close.
Hold it.
better.